the Fadi Dhamma song. Lead. Sorted. Right. That's that lead sorted. Psalm 150. If you got your Bible, if you open your Bible to Psalm 150, that'd be great. The words will be there. We'll read it again just to get a context. We're right at the end of this series that we've been working through in 2018. In the Psalms. We've not touched on all 150 of the Psalms. We've tried to get a flavor of them. If you think of way back, we were in Psalm 1 and Psalm 2, Two Ways to Live, and just thinking about the wonder of the revelation of who God is. And here we are in Psalm 150. And of course, we were singing there Hallelujah, which is really just a Hebrew word, praise the Lord. And so whenever you read praise the Lord, you're actually saying Hallelujah. And whenever you read or sing Hallelujah, you're actually singing praise the Lord. And, you know, that's a great song, that, because really what it does is it does what Psalm 150 exhorts us to do. Just to cry out Hallelujah, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, Alistair Immel, who sits very quietly in the back there, and a gentle-spirited man that he is, he said, John, I've got your psalm ready. Only 6 verses. I'll put you down for 45 minutes. Right? He says, because whenever you've got less verses, you go longer, right? And then he said to me, but Thomas has already went long, so I have to go short, apparently. So that's what he told me. There's a real sense in which the message of Psalm 150 is very obvious. There's a real sense in which it's one of those psalms you read and you realize what the exhortation is, what the purpose is, what the plan is. In actual fact, it's summarized right at the end of verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And you know, if you were to, and it wasn't written this way, it was inspired by God, the Psalms were given, we've looked at it, so many different human writers, humanly speaking, human writers, given at different times and different seasons. As we've went through the Psalms, we've had the whole range of emotions. But if you know, you wanted to sort of, you know, open the Psalms and close the Psalms with the right song selected, it doesn't get any better than Psalm 1 and Psalm 150. And Psalm 150 is just the most fitting conclusion to the whole Psalter. Because when you hear about the mighty acts of God, when you hear about the very presence of God drawing close to us in the midst of whatever life is thrown at us, when you journey through the Psalms and you encounter all the experiences and all the events out of which the Psalms are written, and what you see in the midst of it all is an indescribable, unshakable, reliable, solid as a rock God with us in the midst of it all, walking through it all, enabling us, equipping us, empowering us, delivering us, then it's fitting that what we ought to do is to praise Him. Hallelujah. That little phrase, praise the Lord, effectively captures, as it were, every theme that has come at us in the Psalter. Effectively, it captures, you know, everything in such a way that the inescapable conclusion of the Psalms, the inescapable conclusion of the Psalter, is that all things are for the glory and praise of God. Everything is for the glory and praise of God. and praise of God. You and I are for the glory and praise of God. Every day that God gives us is for the glory and praise of God. Every person He puts in our life for the glory and praise of God. Every experience that we go through, even those moments that we would rather have it so many other ways, yet still, for the glory and praise of God. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. It's interesting that the Psalter finishes with what the Westminster Shorter Catechism opens up with, right? Man's chief end is to worship God and to enjoy Him forever. Well, the Psalter gets to the end of all the experiences that, you know, we read about, we encounter, all the revelation of who God is in the midst of those very real life situations. And it says, you're made to worship God and to enjoy Him forever. You're made to glorify Him. Let everything you do worship God. Let all that you are worship God. Let every moment of life be, as it were, a psalm of praise to God. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And what's so beautiful is that this comes at the end of all the experiences. You know, that when God delivers the most beautiful child, and you know, whether it's a mother or father or grandparent, you hold that child and all the promise and all the potential in your hands, right? You can't help but say, praise the Lord. But the Psalter takes us through those moments, but it takes us through the moments where loved ones are taken from us. It takes us through moments when mentally and physically and emotionally we're in the pit. It takes us through all of life, all the rich tapestry, the many facets of it. And the conclusion? Praise the Lord. The conclusion, glorify God. The conclusion, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Well, there's a couple of little questions that we're going to ask of Psalm 150 just to encourage us as we close out this little series in the Psalm. And the first one is this: where should we praise God? Where should we praise God? And it says there in Psalm 1 in the opening verse, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in His mighty heavens. Now, sometimes when we read that, we kind of think, you know, the original psalmist would certainly be thinking about the temple in terms of the sanctuary of God. You know, we'll be thinking about, you know, going up to the temple for the praise and adoration, for the worship of God. And very often when we read that word, praise God in the sanctuary, it's funny because, you know, we will still call a building that gets used all day long, week in, week out, for all manner of things, the sanctuary, when we come together on Sunday morning, right? But we know what we mean. We're gathering. It's the purpose for which we're gathering. It's not the particular building. The purpose for which we're gathering is the praise, adoration, the worship of who God is. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. And very often you'll hear people think about that in the context of, you know, being out in creation and being out amongst the mountains and the hills. And, you know, Alan loves to scale off all manner of things. And I know that he's close to God there. And there's a sense in which that's okay. There's a sense in which, you know, that's fine. It's an acceptable way to understand the psalm, to apply it for ourselves. But it's so much more. Because when the psalmist cries out, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in His mighty heavens, what he's actually saying is that God is to be adored, worshipped, revered on earth and in heaven. He and He alone is to be the center of affection, the center of attention, the center of all praise, adoration, and worship here on earth and in heaven. What we're actually talking about here is praise God in the massive sweep of the cosmos as we know it, but in the massive sweep of the heavenly realms as well. It's an invitation for all that is on earth and all that is in heaven to join together in praise and adoration and glory to God. In actual fact, God is so great, right, that it actually takes all of earth and all of heaven to truly actually do some justice to his greatness in terms of praise and adoration, and still it falls short. So when we read that, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the highest heavens, what we're actually saying is, let earth and heaven combine to magnify God. Let earth and heaven combine to magnify the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The entire sweep of everything, the whole of the cosmos is to praise him. All the heavenly beings are to praise him. And you know, it does our heart good when we realize, right, that the uniting factor between earth and heaven is the praise and adoration of God. That's the uniting factor between earth and heaven. The thing that unites you and I to the eternal heavenly places is that we are about the praise, adoration, and glory of God. And if you're a believer, then that's the sole purpose of your life. You live for God's glory. You live for the hallelujah to his name. You live for the praise of who he is. And that's why you'll be very comfortable in heaven. Right? Because all the heavenly beings are already lifting up and exalting and glorifying God. That's why the more we get into this, the more we realize that we're made for the glory of God, that we're made for heaven and not for earth, right? In actual fact, the more he becomes the one that is all-consuming. He becomes the one that is fairer than 10,000. And so what's happening, right, in Psalm 150, as he gets towards the end of the Psalter, is he's really just saying, here's the uniting factor between heaven and earth. The worship of the one true and living God. The praise and adoration of the God who makes himself known in Christ. Heaven and earth are united. You know, if I were to enter into the heavenly realms, right, I'd know what was going on, right? You know, it's not a secret to me, right? Jesus is enthroned and adored and praised and glorified. And, you know, I'm not going to feel out of place there because I kind of know the script, right? In actual fact, I remember reading through Revelation and discovering there were some lyrics there that are going to be used, and I thought I might as well learn the hymn and join in so that I'm ready. But the reality is that's what's going on, right? There's a uniting factor between heaven and earth. It's the glory of God. And it's only those whose lives are surrendered to Jesus. It's only those who are in Christ that get this. Life is about glorifying God. Life is about glorying in God, in all his goodness, in all his manifest attributes and character and personality. Let everything that is in me magnify him. And heaven and earth together, just they unite together in a crescendo of praise for who God is. And that is what the psalmist means when he says, where should we praise him? Praise him in the heavens, praise him on the earth. But unite together in the praise of the one who alone is God, who alone is worthy to be praised. God has no rivals. God has no equals. And when you get this, you glorify him. Well, why should we praise him? Because, you know, why? Why should we acknowledge this God? Why should we exalt this God? Why should we magnify his name? And the psalmist again gives us the words. Verse 2, praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Why should we praise God? Why should we praise God? For all that he has done and for all that he is doing. Why is it okay to read verse 1 as I'm praising God in the wonder of creation? Because he's the creator, right? So you can praise him for all that he's done. You know, so when you stand in those lofty peaks and you look out over the most incredible panorama, and it doesn't matter where you are in the world, you just find incredible things to gaze upon. You can stand there and say, praise God. You know, for all our scientific discovery, we're only discovering things God has made. You know, we're only discovering more about what God has done and how incredible his mighty deeds are. And so when we, you know, if we can't, you know, climb the hill ourselves or kind of hang off, you know, precipice and bits and pieces, right? And we're reduced, you know, just to watching Blue Planet, right? Then if you're sitting there watching it and you go, that's incredible, praise God. You know, praise God for his mighty deeds. You know, praise God for his creative power. But here's the thing, he's also sustaining all that. You know, I know that, you know, this is spinning exactly at the right tilt so that we're no sort of flooded or frozen or whatever else it might be, you know, and it never spins off the axis. And I know who is in control of that. God is. And so the reality is we praise him because he's the one that only made it. He's the one that's sustaining it all and preserving it all. And it's all moving towards his plan, the plan that he's revealed to us, that there is a day coming. You know, when every tongue, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, heaven and earth unite in the one purpose for which we're made and created, right? So we praise God, you know, for what he's done. We praise him for his mighty acts. We praise him for his mighty deeds. And of course, for you and I as a people of God, we praise him for his mighty acts in our salvation. You see, God is a God of love, but he's a God of justice. And in justice, he's got to come in judgment of every sin and rebellion and every shortcoming. But we know that his response to judgment is one of love, and he sends a Savior in Christ and his mighty act. And that the judgment is turned away because of the life and death and resurrection and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. You know, there are times when Russell and I send each other wee presses of the message for the week and which songs we might sing. And there are some weeks when the passage just says, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And Russell's got like 3 million songs, right? He could sing, right? Because it's lifting up the mighty acts of God. Well, the psalmist says, praise God for his mighty acts. So when we gather as the people of God in Psalm 150 and we gather in the presence of God and we say, you know, our God's a great creator. Our God's a, you know, provident, you know, provider. Our God is the one who sustains all things. Our God is the one who's in control. Our God is the one who's working out his plan and purpose. Our God, who in Jesus Christ has acted on our behalf. Praise God. You know, that sets your heart aflame with worship. You know, praise him for his mighty deeds. What he has done, what he is doing. You know, what's every person in Christ already positioned with God in glory? You know, the Spirit of God working in you, sanctifying you, making you more like Jesus, praise God. You know, guaranteeing, you know, first fruit of the inheritance which is yours, a guarantee that you're one of God's and he's going to bring you into his presence, praise God. It's all part of the mighty deeds of God. And why should we praise him? Well, we should praise him for all of this. But not only should we praise him for all of this, he also, I love this little phrase in the ESV, praise him according to his excellent greatness. Isn't that just a beautiful phrase? Praise him according to his excellent greatness. It's like, you know, put excellent in front of greatness and you're beginning to get to the indescribable, right? You're beginning to get to that we're struggling to get words to fully capture. But that's what's there, isn't it? God and God alone is the transcendent one. And in himself, he is utterly worthy of our praise. His character, his attributes, his personality. I said it earlier, the excellent greatness of God is such that it requires heaven and earth to combine together to magnify and exalt his name. It takes all of the cosmos, and it takes all of the redeemed, and it takes all of the heavenly beings to actually come close to what it is to lifting God up for his excellent greatness in himself. Never mind what he's done, in himself. That's how awesome our God is. That's how amazing he is. That's how wonderful he is. And why should we praise him? Well, we should praise him because of his mighty deeds, and we should praise him just for who he is. And here comes the final little question. How should we praise him? How should we praise him? And you know, I have some beautiful brothers who are Free Church ministers and of the old dispensation who still don't use instruments in praise. And I love them dearly, right? But I've always struggled with just singing the Psalter with no instruments when you get to Psalm 150. And it says, you know, Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. But sing without music, right? I've struggled with that, right? There are times in my life when I've struggled with that. But I know there is actually an answer to that. I'm going to tell you in a minute too. I'm actually going to give you an answer for that, right? But here's the reality. It says that whatever God has put into you, praise him with, right? Now, I've got to be honest here. Not everyone can play an instrument. Not everyone can play an instrument, right? And sometimes people think they can play an instrument and they just simply can't, right? But at the end of the day, not everyone can play an instrument, right? But what God says is, right, you'll praise him with absolutely everything, right? So bring your mind into the worship and adoration and praise of God. Bring your mind into the greatness of God. You know, if you want to worship God with your mind, then study his attributes and his personality and his character. Just read, about the greatness of God. Bring your mind in worship. You know, there are times when studying the attributes of God is worship. That's what it is. It's not studying. It's not filling your head with knowledge. It's filling your heart with praise. You know, so bring your mind into the presence. Bring your mouth into the presence of God. Bring your voice. You see, here's the thing, right? We can't all play the instruments, right? We can't all play the instruments, but we can all sing. We can all, you know, sing. And I'm not saying you're a great singer, you know, a good singer. I'm not saying, you know, can you make the cut and soloist and I'm just saying, sing. I've said it before. I remember, you know, the day that, after I got saved and I went to church for the first time, the exact same church that I'd been going along to, the exact same minister, the exact same organist. It was the old kind of black cloak, big pipe thing. And, I remember the first hymn, "To God be the glory, great things you did." And I remember just singing it out. What had changed was me. I had changed. I got it. I was to glorify God. So here I have, I've got the words in front of me. "To God be the glory, great things he has done." Come on. "So love to you." And I'm belting it out. I'm giving it loudly, right? And the wee woman behind me turned and said, "Son, are you a professional singer?" And I'm like, "No, I'm just a saved singer, right? I'm just a saved singer, right?" Something had changed in me. You know that? You know, just you get it. And he says, you know, how over to praise God with absolutely everything. You see, funny thing is, right, those that don't want, you know, certain instruments, you know, can I want to weed it out, you know? We like the piano and the guitar. I don't care much for the drums and the cymbals and all that. But no, no drums in this place, right? That's ungodly. You know, if you can play them really well, play them to the glory of God, right? Praise him with everything. Praise him with everything. Praise him with the tambourine. Here's the other thing. Praise him with the tambourine and dance. Dad, what'd you dance for? Goodness sake, Virginia's sitting there going, "Yay!" Right? Because, you know, she's taught people to dance for the glory of God, right? And the reality is, you know, but others are like, "Oh, I don't do dancing," right? You know, "I don't do that." But whatever God has put within you, praise him. Praise him with it. Let everything that is breath praise the Lord, right? Isn't it great on a Sunday morning, you know, adults, we, you know, if we kind of break into a wee two-step, we're kind of getting worried about it, right? But, you know, kids don't, do they? I mean, see the kids doing here, right? Oh, spinning around like this and things like that, you know, sort of running up and down, right? Doing what they do. Kids, see, yeah, you know, we're having a wee bit of music, we're having a wee bit of praise God, and the kids just go for it, right? Praise him. Where everything is breath, praise the Lord. Praise him with whatever God's put in you. Praise him with your mind, praise him with your mouth, praise him with your heart, praise him with your voice, praise him with your instrument, praise him with your dance. What he's really saying is this: let your whole being, let the who you are, the who God has made you to be, praise him, adore him, lift him up. It's not a prescription that every service must have a trumpet, a lute, a harp, a tambourine, a dancer, string section, but it's not saying that. It's actually just turning around and saying, you know, with everything that God has given you, with all that you are in Christ, praise him. Bring your whole being to the praise and adoration and worship and glory of God. That's why it's that little phrase, let everything that's got breath praise God. You know, you might be the greatest dancer for the glory of God, but, you know, you find yourself laid aside in a bed with your feet hooked up and, you know, stirrups and various other bits and pieces. You can still dance in your heart. You can still glorify God, you know, because it's not about the moment. It's about the heart, the whole of who we are for the glory of God. Every experience, all that life brings at us, that's what the Psalter has been all about. Praise with everything that is breath, praise the Lord. So it's okay, you know, to sing out. You see the number of people that say to me at the end of a service, they say, oh, John, we're great. I wanted to shout out hallelujah. You know, we've got a whole group of people in our church that always want to shout something out but never shout it out. I wanted to shout out amen. You know, and so many people tell me that at the end of services. Oh, I just wanted to shout out, yeah, amen. You know, but we're like, you know, we're brought up, you know, kind of West Coast Scotland. Aye, we're rejoicing in the inside. We're praising him. In fact, my heart's all flurried now, right? But he just turns and says, let everything that is breath praise the Lord. If you're living, breathing, and you understand the good news of the gospel, and you understand you're his, praise him. Whatever you're going through, and you sense the presence of God with you in the midst of it, hallelujah. Let everything that is breath praise the Lord. And I go back to my Free Church brothers. I'm actually convinced that someone says, you know, everybody can play the instrument, but we can all sing, so therefore we'll just go for the one we can all do, right? I think that's what it maybe comes to, it comes down to. That's the one that we can all do. But I love the fact that God has blessed us with so many great musicians who can play and play for the glory of God. But here's the thing, play for the glory of God, not for the performance of man. You know, and that's the heart of it, isn't it? The heart of it is this is about God and his glory. This is about enabling God's people to come into his presence and magnify his name. That's the heart of it. It's not a performance. You know, there are people that perform day in and day out. They've got incredible musical talent, incredible musical gift, but it's a performance. But there are those that God just blesses with the incredible ability, you know, to pick up an instrument and to say, this is for your glory, God. This is to magnify you. This is to praise you. Why do Christians sing? Because we've got a voice and we can just sing out something of our marvel at the attributes and character and personality and vastness and greatness of our God. And God has given us hymn writers and songwriters who can craft it all together in such a way that when we read it, we just think, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. I mean, every time I hear a really good hymn, I just kind of think, yep, that's the hymn I'd have written. But God has given them the ability. And what it does is give words, give voice to our praise. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Revelation 5:13-14, and I heard every creature in heaven and on earth, and under the earth and in the sea, and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. There is a day coming where everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the Psalter. That's the Psalter. So we're going to sing. We're going to sing to God's praise and glory. We're going to stand and sing a few, two or three songs as we bring our little series in the Psalter to a close. And let's stand and, you know, with all that we are, let's praise the Lord.